doesn't stop just at the 100, 200 and 400. We have amazing girls in the 800 metres. It's carrying the whole way through, and I think that's something that's really important to note.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
We're going to get into it now. It's a big one. It's the power rankings. Owen.
Yes, indeed. So we're bringing the countdown all the way from 32 to 1, and people talk about a condensed championship being unfair on some of the counties that have got knocked out early. I think the person who is most at a loss after the condensed championship is me. These power rankings are the ones that have suffered a lack of flux. But then again, there isn't ever much flux in these because they're always 100% perfect and correct. At number 32, we have London. At number 31, we have Waterford. 30 is Leitrim. 29 is Sligo. Number 28 is Carlow. Then it's Wicklow at 27, Louth at 26, and Wexford at 25. No movement there because none of them have played a game of football since we last updated the power rankings. At number 4, we have 24, we have County Laois. At number 23, we have Longford. Number 22 is Fermanagh. 21 is Antrim. Then into the top 20. 20 is Tipperary, the first team we have called out today who've actually played a match since we last updated our power rankings. They were beaten by 11 points by Kerry. Cavan in at 19 were knocked out of the Ulster Championship after an 8-point defeat to Tyrone, and Down haven't played since either. They stay at number 18. 17 are Limerick, who got knocked out of the Championship by Cork on an 8-point win for Cork. Now, number 16 is Offaly. Number 15 is Westmeath. Number 14 is Clare. Number 13 is Derry. Cork are in at number 12. Roscommon in at number 11. Your beloved Kildare there at number 10.
No movement.
No movement above County Meath.
Oh, come on. What are you doing?
What are you thinking there?
Well, I think Kildare are still in the championship and just beat Meath the last time they played them.
Well, look, we could just put the last, what are we into now, 8 counties in and as a top 8 and just settle for that. If you want to, like, we could just change the rules.
What do you mean?
And just like put the last counties in there as your top 8 teams.
No, so you're keeping Meath at 9 because against the Dublin team who had basically phoned in the second half, they did really well for a change. Is that it? It's like, happy days. You won the second half, lads. Well done. Congratulations.
That's one giant leap for Meath kind, what happened on Sunday. Really, really good compared to everything else we've seen from them in the past. I know Kildare are getting promoted to Division 1 and Meath aren't, and I would love nothing more than to drop Meath down a few pegs here, but let's see how...
Is Tommy there? Did he butt in on this? He is. Oh, Tommy, good morning to you. Hello.
Jeez. Yeah. I'm not ready there, lads. I'm not ready to go here. I'm not going to jump in and make any more arguments.
Come on. You're not ready to go.
We can hear you.
You're the voice of God, essentially. So come on, tell us.
My mic isn't on. You're going to have to give me a minute.
Your mic is on. We can hear you perfectly.
I can hear everything
you just
said.
Whatever excuse you have. You're live on the radio, Tommy.
Oh, he's turned off his mic.
Or we've silenced him.
I don't know what's happened there, but he couldn't hold up an argument that Meath are better than Kildare. What hope do Meath have of actually beating Dublin if they can't launch a proper argument on OTB AM that's directly?
So when these are officially published today, you're going to correct that, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Not a chance. Kildare, I thought Dublin were going to beat Meath by 12 points was precisely what I predicted last week for the Dublin margin of victory over Meath. I think that Dublin could yet do that to Kildare in the Leinster final.
And what difference does that make? We reached the Leinster final and they haven't. And also, we beat them most recently when we played. Come on, Tommy.
I'm here. I think Meath deserves to be in ninth position. They finally backed up what we've been seeing over the last couple of years with a bit of a performance against Dublin. But to be fair, it was only 15, 20 minutes. Look, Jerry, if Kildare turn around and put in a performance against Dublin, even for that amount of time, even if they show something, I'd say maybe they should be edged ahead of Meath into ninth position. But they just haven't shown anything over the last couple of years. Is this the second Leinster final Kildare in the last decade? Maybe the third? They just haven't shown enough form. I don't know. What did you make of Jack O'Connor?
I think
on the Sunday game afterwards saying that this has been a great year for Kildare football into Division 1, into a Leinster final. Does it feel like that?
It doesn't feel particularly great. I mean, Clare beating them in Newbridge was one of those kind of stereotypically inconsistent performances from Kildare that suggest that they're like nearly there, but not quite there. It's like, not since Geezer have they had consistency. of performance and I would argue a clear identity, still quite not quite sure. Even in the Westmeath game at the weekend, absolutely devastating in patches and then completely out of the game for ages. Like, if Westmeath, like, a bit like Meath, had taken their goal chances or had not gone for goals, instead of, if they just clipped a few points when they were behind, instead of going for goals, particularly that the third quarter, then it could have been a very different scenario.
So you're talking this whole thing down all of a sudden.
Well,
you just clambered off that ladder. You were like, you had a pickaxe at my power rankings, and you're like, yes, I've heard the voice of God, aka Tommy Rooney from Meath Hill, and I've got off the ladder and I put the pickaxe away. That's it. That's your argument. Just falls like that.
That's exactly what happened to the Dubs in the third quarter last week. The Meath men stood up to them, and we saw them wilt completely. That is exactly what happened.
God, you honestly, he's joking about that, but he thinks that's true. You do think that's true. You said you saw it in the Dubs' eyes. You saw it in their eyes.
Well, it was the 49th minute journey until Kieran Kilkenny scored. Look, I know the game was in GA goal, so I don't know how many people actually saw it, but...
Oh, he's going to pull I was there card here. You have more information.
Eddie Farrell, after the match, said that Dublin were complacent at halftime. When on earth have Dublin ever been complacent over the last 10 years? And I know now, recently, they haven't been beating teams by 20 points. They've been keeping the ball. They've been holding possession. They've been killing hope. But they couldn't do it yesterday for 20 minutes.
At the start of the second half when they were 11 points up.
For 20 minutes, Jared, but it's never happened before in Leinster. It's never happened. Like, the last time I remember that happening is maybe Mayo coming back from the dead in the 2015 All-Ireland semi-finals. They come back from 7 points down. They spooked Cluxon for a few minutes and they won a couple of kickouts and they got back into it. Like, what happened yesterday was Evan Comerford and Davy Byrne lay down as if they were shot when Meath got it back to 4 points. And they were right. That's a tactic that club teams do all around the country when you're trying to kill a bit of momentum. Meath get it back to 3 points. And to be fair to James McCarthy, I watched it back. I played the replay. I zoomed it in. I'm pretty sure Thomas O'Reilly actually caused him to fall down. But a brawl starts. Completely kills the momentum. Anyways, we've talked enough about
it. No, we haven't talked enough about that. I've got two questions. First of all, would you say Dublin... we're on a level of shithousery that Italy displayed against Belgium at Euro 2020.
No, not necessarily. I don't think it was. I don't think the level of shithousery was that high. No, I don't. To be honest, I don't.
And second of all, how much are you blaming Conor Lane? I heard he had a pretty good line of vision for that penalty that they should have gotten the first half.
I got accused of being a petty sore loser a good few times yesterday. I don't know. I just found it remarkable. I couldn't tell in real time watching it, but when I watched it back and I saw Conor Lane's position, I just couldn't believe that he didn't give a penalty.
So it looked like a rugby tackle.
Like, Brian Fenton has landed on the back of Brian McMahon.
He's a big man, Brian Fenton. What's he supposed to do? How can he get his own 6'12" limbs out of the way?
But like, he's tripped them in the penalty box at 3-2. And I'm not looking. Maybe that would have woken up Dublin, and maybe me wouldn't have gotten the burst.
Was it a goal scoring opportunity, Tommy?
I don't know if it would have been a black card, actually. I think there's two defenders in front of him. Right. But it's a penalty.
Meath would have missed the penalty. We know that. That's how it works.
Well, sure, look it. We never know. We never know what would happen. It was a 6-point swing very quickly. Anyways, lads, too much talk about Meath. It's over now. Meath's year is over, but it has given us enough to cling on to, a little bit of hope. It's definitely backed up what I've been saying for the last 3 years.
What? Me, they're coming and they're good. Is that what you've been saying for the last 3 years?
It's just been improvements over the last 3 years.
Okay. Good to be ambitious, Howie.
439 likes on your tweet about Conor Lane yesterday, Tommy. Congratulations.
A lot of Meath people on Twitter.
True. It's true. But they're in at ninth in the power rankings. It's a good outcome. Good outcome from the season.
The Dubs are definitely rattled. Paddy Andrews screamed in my face when Brian Fenton scored that point in the 72nd minute. Like, he screamed in my face.
What had you been doing to him, like, prior to that?
Like, living him like a quarterback.
This big grin across my face for 20 minutes. That was it, like.
I would say that was definitely not annoying whatsoever for Paddy.
No, I think he felt like the whole press box was willing me down.
Well, I'm sure they were. I think the whole country were like, oh.
That's natural. It's natural, isn't it?
Yeah, but the complacency is important. I think the complacency is important. And I'm not writing the Dubs off just yet, but I assume that our power rankings, when we reveal the next page here, is going to reveal that there's been a change at the top, Owen.
A quote from our last power rankings. If Kerry win by 15 points versus Tip and Meath get within 6 points of Dublin, I'll put Kerry top. Did either of those two things happen?
Did they not both happen?
No. They didn't get within 6 points. They got 26 points, and Kerry only won by 11 points rather than 15.
Ah, come on, that's exactly. They are the criteria. Well, they have reached the criteria, essentially. There was a 6-point win. We're within 6 points, 6 points.
But Kerry didn't win by 15 points.
What did they win by?
11.
Are you...
Yeah.
Come on, you can't be... Yeah.
I'm just looking at the numbers in front of me. Like, this is, as we all know, this is a very tight mathematical ship that I run here on the power ranking.
So you've made a change at the top, right?
There was an algorithm, and computer said no when I was looking in last night to see whether or not it would allow me to put Kerry top. And so all I'm looking at here is, actually, if anything, Kerry could be dropped down below Mayo, who beat Leitrim by 24 points. We'll bring up the top eight there, and we can go through them.
At
number eight is Galway. They haven't played since we updated them. Their last game was against Roscommon. They stay put at number eight. Armagh are down after their defeat at the weekend because Monaghan have leapfrogged them up to sixth after winning that game. What a cracker. Donegal then down to fifth, and they've been leapfrogged by the team that they went down to as well at the weekend. I could have brought Donegal down further, maybe. Again, gone by your logic, Jeremy, put Monaghan up there because they're into the Ulster final. But I think a fully fit Michael Murphy, who doesn't get sent off, maybe...
I know, but it didn't happen. So next year he'll be a year older. Next year Neil McGee might not be playing. Mm. I don't know. I can see why Monaghan coming team, the start and the end, fairly sensational. Obviously they conceded it a load, but that's what happens in those games. Okay, come on. What's the story?
So Tyrone at number four, Mayo at number three, Kerry at number two, Dublin at one.
Why did you not make the change? You feel it. You want it. You know it. You've been making the argument here, like, again and again and again. Come on.
Like, I mean, you've been making the argument for the last 24 hours that this was a complacent performance from Dub.
I know, but at the same time, in your power rankings, you have to be consistent. Yeah, like, essentially, everything that you asked happened.
No, it literally did not.
A one-sided victory for Kerry, which it was, and still room for them to improve. It was one-sided, the difference between 11 points and 15.
The literal thing that I said literally did not happen. It actually did not happen.
And the 6 points... And
I said within 6 points of Dublin. Six is not within six. Six is six. And 11 is smaller than 15. A good 4 points short of 15. And I'm not necessarily sure Kerry have actually been at full throttle since the league. And it's kind of hard to...
So they're periodising nicely, rising, cresting to hammer Cork.
Maybe, but I don't understand. Like, what was the periodisation about in the league, especially late on in the league when they were safe, I guess, and that game against Tyrone. They just haven't shown that form in the Munster Championship so far. Two comfortable wins, that's for sure, and you can't be overly critical of them. So you can't make the decision to actually drop Mayo or bring Mayo up ahead of them. Like, you just can't do that. But by the same token, I don't think they've done enough to say they are guaranteed to win the All-Ireland, which would be what you need to see from them to actually go to number one, I think. Because, as we've made the point yesterday, I think a team needs to be better than Dublin to actually beat them in an All-Ireland final. I think if two teams are of a similar standard, I think Dublin will beat them. So have we seen enough from Kerry so far in the Munster Championship to show that they're better than Dublin when Dublin eventually stop getting complacent? I'm not sure that that argument is actually settled yet. I think that there is every chance that Dublin get beaten, but I still think team number two, team number three, team number four there could all be the team that actually step up and take it. And it's a really exciting conclusion that we've got to the All-Ireland Championships. And maybe I'm just buying your argument from yesterday. Maybe when the Mercury did tip 30, that was it. Dublin were like, we got to conserve this energy. And that's why we got to keep them at number one.
Give us a number. How much do Kerry have to beat Cork by to be in contention?
It's not like, well, I would say Cork are the best team they've played this year. And they will be the toughest game they've played this year. They're in at number 12 in these power rankings. Give you a number. I don't know. Like, it depends how the whole game goes. Like, I think a double digits win against Cork would be very impressive. I actually don't necessarily predict it's going to happen.
They'll win by 5 to 7 points, right?
I would say four or five, I think, will be the margin of victory. Like, there are some people saying that Kerry are going to pulverise Cork. And I do think that if you put Dublin into Kerry's position, and I'm not talking about Dublin this year, I'm talking about Dublin over the last few years. If you put them in Kerry's position where they're in that Munster Championship, I think they actually rack up bigger wins. And I think they're even more ruthless. And I don't think they definitely would have had the issue they had against Cork last year. But even the kind of slight issues that Cork caused in 2019, I don't think Dublin would have experienced that. So the bar is extremely high here. Like,
Spread is 8 points. I just checked it there. Eight points spread.
That's interesting. I guess
I think Cork have struggled massively to get scores on the board against Kerry over the last couple of years.
And also the Killarney factor will play into it. And I know that people aren't happy with that because only 2,500 people will be in the ground. And who knows, maybe there'll be like a last minute push to a game, to a stadium with more seats than Killarney has. But then again, if they actually moved the venue and Kerry ended up getting beaten, there would be all out war. There would be panic on the streets of everywhere in Kerry if they moved the game to Cork and Cork ended up beating them, which would be kind of funny, I guess, for most people, but not for Kerry people.
Last point, I think there's a massive threat that there could be a big swing in the power rankings next week. Galway Mayo is going to go down to the wire.
You think?
Yeah, I think it is.
Are you calling a Galway win here?
I think it's going to go down to the wire. I'm just saying that it's eighth against Mayo and third, aren't they? Against third. I'm just saying that Galway team could, like, they could come alive in Croke Park the next day. And I think Mayo, without Kieran O'Connor, are just still a little suspect. They've had massive wins throughout the league, massive wins in the championship, but they just haven't had a challenge yet. And obviously Galway have progressed a lot since they were hockeyed on day one against Kerry.
The spread is a point for that game, by the way.
Wow.
I didn't know it was that close.
Have Mayo not come alive in Croke Park in the past?
Well, they will, and they have done. And Croke Park is definitely of benefit to Mayo. But I'd say, you know, there's a bit of a siege mentality developing in Galway over the last couple of weeks, and Pádraig Joyce might have them in the right position.
Yeah, I think that's right too. I think that I don't think Galway are ready to beat Dublin. I think Mayo might be if we get there, but I think that Mayo could be letting their mind dream a little bit about that and could get caught by Galway in that game. Oh, and I'm disappointed.
Why?
I think that you should have.
What's in this for you, by the way? Like, I mean, this is a big
nothing,
agenda. Who's
nothing? Nothing.
Who's financing your?
I just want
your
you to have cojones, co-Jones.
Believe me,
Marty would have said.
I've got co-Jones for days. What's in it for you?
The power rankings are supposed to reflect the truth and accuracy, and there's this constant every day. You're a one-man rumor mill when it comes to the Dubs, and yet you bring none of that information to bear when it comes to the actual power rankings. Your algorithm is flawed.
You think Dublin are no longer the best team in the country then?
Well, I think that if
it doesn't matter. Give me a definite thing here because
I was about to say, I think that if Dublin win the All-Ireland from this position this year, it's going to go down as good as that year that Kilkenny won the All-Ireland by beating Tip in the replay when it looked like they were washed up. It looked like they were absolutely finished. And they managed to wrestle it back through sheer willpower. Because if you were to say from the performances that we've seen so far, the all of the Footballer of the Year candidates over the last couple of years, maybe with the exception of Fenton, is not at the level that they have been at when they've been at their peak, despite the fact they're still in the team. He hasn't been as good this year as he has been in previous years, has he?
He was brilliant. He was absolutely exceptional in the first half, didn't have a great second half. I know we got to go, but I think your comparison with Kilkenny there is very, very important. I think that this might be, if Dublin win it, it'll be a huge achievement. It will not be their best All-Ireland, but it could be the last thing in the Dublin tale.
The legacy. I actually disagree with that. I actually think that the Dubs are, I don't think they're going to go through a period in the doldrums whatsoever. I think people need to strike while the iron is hot. And I'm not saying that there's no pressure on Kerry here, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Kilkenny did come back and do a two in a row and then another two in a row after that.
You better, absolutely.
They added in an extra. At the end, when they were finished, they won four more All-Irelands.
And that two in a row is almost as impressive as what they did before that. But I think there's massive pressure on the chasing pack to actually beat Dublin. And I do think Dublin are in their weakest state since 2000, and let's say their most vulnerable state since 2014. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not the best team.
I think that your mindset, unfortunately, is there's no growth mindset in it. There's no opportunity for Kerry to grow in it.
I've literally got a brand new table. That is like growth mindset 101 here. I've gone out and I've asked IKEA to drop this over.
15 minutes past 8 this morning. That is this week's edition of the Power Rankings. You can give Owen hell on Twitter, or you can leave the comments in the YouTube stream, and we will, of course, bring them to you on our new patented segment, which we're still workshopping the name for, which at the moment is Feedback Corner or Feedback Loop or, you know, Constructive Criticism.
Constructive Criticism I thought was kind of hip and cool.
Okay, 16 minutes past 8 this morning.
Doesn't stop just at the 100, 200 and 400. We have amazing girls in the 800 metres. It's carrying the whole way through, and I think that's something that's really important to note.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.